So often in the Bible we read of characters who we consider are unlike ourselves, those who are used by God in extraordinary ways. We don't really identify ourselves with them other than to regard them as evidence of God at work. But the more we look at them, the more we see they're ordinary people through whom God did extraordinary things. Our reading today is about Moses, and a more human person we couldn't find. We read that his parents, Amram and Jochebed, fearing the Egyptian measures to restrict the growth of the Hebrew population by ordering the death of all newborn Hebrew males, hid Moses for 3 months and then set him afloat on the Nile in a reed basket daubed with pitch. So, if we ever think we didn't have the best of starts in life, we only have to consider Moses. He was found, as we know, by Pharaoh's daughter, and consequently is brought up in the Hebrew court. Little is known about him in his formative years, but we can clearly see from his ongoing years that he had instruction in religious, civil, and military matters. But somehow he learned he was a Hebrew, and he made it his business to visit his people. Again, if we ever wonder if God's hand is on us, we only have to consider how God developed Moses' knowledge of his people. I think of such people as John Newton, a slave trader who became a man used by God and who wrote Amazing Grace, How Can It Be? Moses would be about 25 when he came across an Egyptian taskmaster beating a Hebrew half to death. And Moses intervened and in fact killed the Egyptian. There would have been other ways to deal with the situation, but Moses acted in rage, but found that he had been seen. It could only be a matter of time before his guilty secret was known by Pharaoh. So he fled to Midian, or as we know it today, northwest Arabia. If you've ever regretted some action in the past and expected it to be held against you at some awkward moment, join the club of Moses. But still, God didn't give up on him. By a curious, not to say miraculous event, God let Moses know he's there. A bush is alight with fire, but it's not consumed. And in that extraordinary way, God tells Moses that he wants him to deliver the Hebrews from Egypt. God was choosing this man who feared for his own safety by running away for fear of being found out for delivering justice on just one Hebrew, was now being expected to deliver the whole population of Hebrews out of slavery. A more unlikely choice to do that could be hard to imagine. God reassured Moses he would be with him, but despite that, Moses was reluctant to accept the task. Have you ever seen something which is crying out to be done for God and feel someone should do something about it, but no one seems to be willing to accept the task? Once again, you can identify with Moses. He was quite sure he wasn't the person to do it. Oh, my Lord, he said, send, I pray, someone else. Great and glorious deeds are lovely to read about, but let someone else do them. We are ordinary people, just like Moses. But God led ordinary, fault-ridden Moses to do the most extraordinary thing, leading the Hebrews out of slavery into the promised land of Canaan. Perhaps uncomfortable though it may be, to think that ordinary Moses could be expected, with the help of God, to deliver 6 million people from slavery. It ought not for we equally ordinary people to lead one person from the slavery of sin into the experience of God forgiving their sin. So we have Moses in our Bible reading, still reluctant to accept the mission God was wanting him to have. And as Moses doesn't want the task, he's pretty blunt in his answer to God. He says, "You've been telling me to lead these people, but you haven't let me know who you'll send with me. You've said, 'I know you by name, and you found favour with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways, that I may know and continue to find favour with you.'" And Moses has the impertinence to say to God, "Remember that this nation is your people." Moses wants some detail about this extraordinary mission. We can see just how human Moses is. He's virtually saying, "You can't possibly expect me to do this on my own. Who will you provide to give me a hand?" And God gives this ordinary man such a simple but a wonderful answer, which later Moses will come to realise is all he needs. God says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Moses doesn't yet understand the complete significance of God's promise of his presence. He answers God, "If your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from here." Possibly without knowing the full implication of his own words, Moses is saying, "I can't do what you're asking if you, of all people, don't go with me. If you aren't coming, forget it. I'm not going. Because how will anyone see I'm not just as ordinary as anyone else? What's going to distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And God simply says, "I'll do that, and I know you by name." In other words, "I have faith in you." We have the benefit of being able to read the whole story, of course, how Moses did indeed lead the Hebrews out of slavery. An ordinary man, with and in the presence of God, doing what otherwise would have been impossible. Today, we may not see a bush alight but not burning, but we can see so many needs which are not fading away. And we can see people who need to be reconciled to God by accepting Jesus. Can I ask, though you may undoubtedly claim to be just ordinary, to accept, because God's presence is promised to you, such an extraordinary request from God can be accomplished by you? Will you say yes to God? Will his presence be with you? Here is a psalm to reassure you.